Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Tuesday, February the 20th, and it is also the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a joy it is to have you all share in this space. We are on day 7 of our 40-day fast. You know, fasting during the Lenten season is designed to prepare our hearts and minds for Easter. It's a journey to the cross. And we spend our days in reflection and self-denial and sacrifice that mirrors Jesus' 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. The wilderness is vast. The wilderness is untamed. The wilderness is also unpredictable. And that's a picture for where some of you find yourselves this morning, in a vast, untamed, unpredictable season. The wilderness often represents a place of trials and challenges. It pushes us to our limits, forcing us to confront our fears, limitations, and inner demons. In the wilderness, we encounter spiritual battles and our faith is tested to the max. But overcoming these challenges in the wilderness can lead to significant spiritual growth and transformation. It can strip away distractions, allowing for introspection, self-discovery, and a deeper connection with God. I think of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, preparing people for spiritual renewal. Regardless of how dark and untamed and unpredictable it is, good things can happen in the wilderness. Good things can happen in the wilderness. You can find clarity in the wilderness because the quiet and simplicity of the wilderness can provide a mental break from the noise and clutter of daily life. Because in the wilderness, you ain't got the bandwidth to stroll through social media all day. You ain't binge watching Netflix all day. Things are simple in the wilderness because you are using every spiritual and mental muscle you got trying to navigate your way through. There are three things the Bible teaches us about the wilderness. Number one, that God is present even when hidden. We all know it. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. The Bible consistently reminds us that God is not confined by our circumstances. God walks beside us even when we feel lost and alone. But there's another thing the Bible teaches us about the wilderness. And that is, trials bring growth and transformation. Romans 8:28 puts it this way, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that is far more excellent and outlast them all. While difficulties can often feel overwhelming, the Bible teaches that hardships can be opportunities for growth and transformation. But there's something else the Bible teaches us about our wilderness moments, and that is hope emerges from darkness. Psalm 30:5 puts it this way, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night. You already know it. Joy comes in the morning. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I like Revelation 21, 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Church, even in the midst of our wilderness season, the Bible offers unwavering hope. It reminds us that God's love endures, and no matter how dark the night, no wilderness season lasts forever. I want to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If you're new to Grace, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and I've been blessed to lead an amazing community for 6 years called Grace Community Church, and I am happy to share this sacred space with you. But some of you are wondering, Collins, how can I find rest for my restless soul while trying to navigate the wilderness? Psalm 62:1 speaks to the very challenge of finding rest when your soul is restless. We talked about this briefly on yesterday, so let me just jump in and say this. Rest doesn't always mean sleep. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Rest doesn't always mean sleep, because some of you are sleeping at night, but you ain't resting because your soul is tired. Let me pause here parenthetically and say this. We are not a body with a soul, but instead we are a soul with a body. So many of us, we think we are our bodies, but we're not. We are not a body with a soul. Whenever you die, your body dies, but your soul lives somewhere forever. We are not a body with a soul, but we are a soul with a body. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, scripture says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He took the dust and the clay and made that into a body. That was the outer covering for our soul. And God, here it is, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did man become? And man became a living soul. You are not who you are because of your body. You can dress it, you can cut it, you can implant it, you can exercise it, you can pierce it, you can tattoo it, but you are not who you are because of your body. You are who you are because of your soul. Your body is simply the material container for the immaterial part of who you are. Because when you die, your body falls asleep, but your soul lives. I needed to say that because some of us take pride in our body at the expense of neglecting our soul. And don't get me wrong, we should take care of our bodies. We should exercise. We should eat healthy. We should take our vitamins. However, we should also make it our number one priority to take care of the essence of who we really are. Do you feel a constant sense of inner tension or anxiety, even when things seem outwardly calm? Do you find yourself easily irritated or frustrated even over small things? Do you wake up feeling unrested even after 8 hours of sleep? Do you have difficulty relaxing your body and mind even when trying to rest? Do you feel disconnected from your faith or spiritual beliefs? Do you find it difficult to pray or meditate? If you answer yes to one or more of these questions, it could be that you are restless in your soul. This disconnection from true rest can stem from various factors. One, unresolved emotional burdens. Carrying the weight of unaddressed anxieties and worries or past traumas can create a constant undercurrent of emotional tension, even during sleep. Imagine trying to rest while carrying a heavy backpack. The physical discomfort mirrors the emotional strain that disrupts true rest. But not only unresolved emotional burdens, but also disconnection from meaning and purpose. Feeling adrift in life, meandering throughout life, lacking a sense of purpose or direction can create a hollowness within. Even if we're physically asleep, the lack of a fulfilling path can keep our minds and spirits restless, searching for something more. So what is the cure for our restless soul? Psalm 62:1 says, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him." Yesterday morning, we said that in order to find rest for our restless soul, we must recognize that God is our salvation. But there is a second point I want to give you this morning. To find we must, here it is, recognize that God is our expectation. God is our expectation. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8 puts it this way, "Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." Listen, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer this morning, but life is one long, steady disappointment. And this dawns on most people by their 30s. Childhood is all potentiality. The teenage years are all angst, but even angst betrays some hope, since it is only quiet outrage that things could be better. A person can still carry into his 20s the illusion that the world will soon blossom. Not until his 30s does a person realize that much of what's coming won't be better than what has come. The 40s, 50s, and on often only reinforced Alexander Pope's infamous beatitude, "Blessed is the man who expects nothing, but he shall never be disappointed." Church, to live is to be disappointed. That's why God must be our expectations. David says, "God is my salvation. God is my rock. God is my fortress." And he repeats this because we never reach a place of perfect composure where severe trials don't affect us. And so here it is. We have to fight to regain our peace in God. How do we do that? By reminding ourselves that God and God alone is our rock and salvation, that God is our stronghold. David wants us to know in Psalm 62 that God personally is his expectation, not his weapons, not his crown, not his soldiers, but God. Let me ask you a question. Where do you normally look for your expectation? Yourself? Your wallet, your friends? Where do we look when our future is dark and bleak? David said, "God is my expectation. God is the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." In our times of temptation, God is our refuge. In our days of adversity, God is our refuge. In our nights of affliction, God is our refuge. In our somber times of death, God is our refuge. God is worthy of our expectations. In earthquake-prone areas, students have earthquake drills and are instructed to what? Get under their desk or to study under a study table, because that is the safest place they can be. A mild earthquake will still shake the world around you. Books, pencils, Maybe even a light fixture might fall, but watch this. You are covered by your desk. Just like an earthquake, life throws unexpected challenges our way. We experience loss, heartbreak, illness, and uncertainty that can leave us feeling shaken and vulnerable. The world around us seems to move, sometimes violently, and the familiar ground beneath our feet feels unsteady. In the midst of this shaking, the natural instinct is to seek shelter, just like students are taught to find safe refuge under a desk. God becomes our haven, our safe harbor in the storm. But be mindful, the desk doesn't guarantee complete immunity from harm. Tremors can still be felt. The objects might still fall. Similarly, church, faith in God doesn't promise a life free of hardship, but just like the desk offers a shield from falling debris, God offers protection from the full force of the blow. He shields us from despair, helps us navigate challenges, and grants us the strength to weather any storm. Somebody ought to be shouting right now that you didn't feel the full force of the blow. You didn't feel the full force of the layoff. You didn't feel the full force of the breakup. You didn't feel the full force of the sickness, but God shielded you. You ought to declare it out loud right now if you can. God shielded me. He covered you. He didn't let that thing destroy you, because God as refuge goes beyond just physical safety. That is, God offers refuge not just from external dangers, but also from our inner anxieties, our inner fears, and our inner doubts. His presence provides a sense of peace and calm that transcends circumstances. Imagine facing an earthquake feeling centered and grounded, knowing that you are not alone. Imagine facing unemployment, bills due, and money low, but still feeling centered and grounded, singing, "I know the Lord will make a way somehow." Am I talking to anybody this morning? Some of you can testify that though it's storming in my life right now, God is still keeping me. Some days are better than others, but God is keeping me. So if you need rest for your restless soul, remember, God is our salvation, and God is our expectation. There is a third point that David raises, but my time is up, and I give it to you tomorrow. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you because you are our eternal and everlasting God. We thank you for this day, for another opportunity to experience your love and kindness and tender mercy. We thank you that last night was not our last night, but you encamped your angels around our bed. You made death behave, and you woke us up this morning knowing the joys of a brand new day. We thank you that things are as well as they are. Sure, things could be better, but we also acknowledge that they could be far worse. So we rejoice that for every mountain you brought us over, for every trial you've seen us through, and for every blessing, we're going to shout hallelujah. And for this, we give you praise. We gather before you this morning, hearts heavy with the weight of restlessness. The world spins with chaos, and its echoes rattle our souls, and we yearn for stillness, for a haven where our anxieties can fade and our spirits find peace. So, Father, we're asking that you will hear our pleas this morning. You who calmed the raging seas and quieted the storm-tossed heart, bring tranquility to our inner turmoil. Let your presence be our refuge, a sanctuary where worries dissipate and hope finds fertile ground. Remind us this morning that even when the world trembles, you are our steadfast foundation. Anchor our souls in your promises. Anchor our spirits with your unwavering love, and guide us with the gentle light of your wisdom. Father, open our eyes to the peace you offer, not just as a distant hope, but as a present reality woven into the fabric of our lives. Help us recognize the seeds of peace amidst the challenges, the moments of grace blooming even in the harshest seasons. And Lord, we thank you today that though we face challenges, we recognize the beauty present in every day, the warmth of the sun on our skin, the laughter shared with loved ones, the quiet moments of peace, and the strength that carries us through. Thank you, God, for the breath in our lungs, the beating of our hearts, and the resilience of our spirits. Thank you for the gift of health, even when it ain't perfect, and for the love that surrounds us even when it feels distant. We express gratitude for the blessings, both big and small, the roof over our heads, the food on our tables, and the opportunities to grow and learn. We are thankful this morning for the challenges that forge our character, the lessons learned on difficult paths, and the wisdom gained from overcoming obstacles. So may we never take for granted the simple joys, the kindness of strangers, the beauty of nature, and the love that binds us together. Help us, Father, to open our hearts to receive your blessings with humility and share them with generosity. And today we invite you to shine through us because you said that we are the light of the world. So go with us and stand by us. It's in that name who calms our fears and soothes our doubts, that name that is above every name, that name that causes demons to tremble, sickness to flee, and governments to topple. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it all. Everybody say amen, amen, and thank God. Hey, listen, thank you for tuning in this morning. I don't take your being in this space for granted. The playback calls from yesterday and today will be uploaded to our website at gracechurchal.com /fasting. Thank each and every one of you who prayed and reached out on yesterday on behalf of MJ. She had a successful procedure, and we're thanking God for the relief that she's already receiving. Hey, listen, we are praying for you all today. I am rooting for you. Be careful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.